Well, praise the Lord, folks. Got the sound guy going here. And let's grab our hymnals and stand for our final hymn tonight before the message. We're going to sing 177, 177, first, third, and fourth. And here's what Sir Isaac Watts wrote in these incredible words. We're marching. Amen? We're in an army, and it's the army of the Lord. And we cannot lose because the battle is already won. I'm so glad for that. Glory to God. Oh, let's sing it to the Lord.
Come we that love the Lord and let our noise be known. Join in the song with sweet accord. Join in the song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, I'll walk those golden streets, I'll walk those golden streets. Heaven, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that's beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound in every teary dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's crown. We're marching through Emmanuel's crown. To fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Then please be seated. Timmy, what do you got?
What does Zion mean?
Zion is the Old Testament rendering of for Jerusalem, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And when you see the city of Zion, that's always speaking of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles tonight, folks. We're marching to Zion. And that's speaking of the Zion above, the Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Amen. Revelation chapter 22 tonight. Revelation chapter 22. Believe it or not, we're coming tonight to the Millennial Kingdom Part 19. Our closing message of our series on the Millennial Kingdom of Messiah. And here in the 22nd chapter, we began it last week. We're going to finish up tonight, Lord willing. And I've entitled tonight's message, The Conclusion of the Book. The Conclusion of the Book. Amen? I'm so glad somebody just mentioned, Mark just mentioned, we know how it ends. Because we know the book. Amen? And tonight, we see the conclusion of the book. Now, we've entered, beloved, into the eternal order at this point. Jesus Christ has completely fulfilled every single prophecy of Scripture. But before he tells John to close the book, he issues some concluding words. Very important ones. Seven particulars, declarations are made in the conclusion of the book tonight. First, I want you to notice here in Revelation chapter 22, the first thing I want you to see is the declaration of the authentication of the book. The declaration of the authentication of the book, that it's authentic, amen, that it's of divine origin. Look with me in verse number 6. We pick up our context in verse 6. We left off at verse 5 last week in the eternal order. We read, and he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, beloved, notice here tonight in his authentication of the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit points out four things in these two verses concerning the declaration of the authentication. First, he points out that the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares its authenticity. Look in chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, and hold your place in our text. We're coming back. All you got to remember, it's the last page of your Bible. In Revelation chapter 1, first of all, concerning its authentication, Jesus Christ himself declares it to be authentic. Look in Revelation 1:1. The revelation of who?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's not the revelation of the Pope. It's not the revelation of Allah. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which God the Father gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the what?
Word
of God. It's the word. The book of Revelation is the word of God, folks. Jesus Christ authenticates it here. And of the testimony of who?
Jesus Christ.
What you're reading in the book of Revelation. Why does Pastor Oliver come every Sunday night to church and preach to you on prophecy? And we go to the book of Revelation over and over and over again. Why? Because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the word of God and it's authentic. It's things which we must know. Verse 2. Of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Yes, John saw through prophetic vision all of the prophecies we've been studying as they occurred in eternity future. Amen? Now, here's why we know that everything written in the book of Revelation is valid and trustworthy, beloved. Because Jesus Christ himself gave it to John. Go to Revelation 19. Look with me here in Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse number 11. Don't miss this. And John writes, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him." Somebody, who was that sat upon the white horse? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. "Him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." See that? "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." His name is Faithful and True. That means you can believe what he says. Amen? You can trust what he promises. We saw that this morning in the exceeding great and precious promises message. Secondly, observe the reiteration of the promised blessing for all those who keep, that is, watch for the things which are written to be fulfilled. Look back in our text in Revelation 22. Notice the promise to those who keep. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, what does he mean here by keeping? Go to Revelation chapter 1 again. Hold your place again in 22. In Revelation chapter 21, we have a parallel passage with what we just read about the sayings of this book. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed, there's that word again, from Revelation 22, verse 7. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." And what? "Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Revelation 22, 7. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book." Now, what is he saying? Why is he saying we're blessed if we keep what is written in this book? I'll tell you why. Because when he says, "Blessed is he that keepeth," or "she that keepeth the sayings of this book," it means to watch for the fulfillment thereof. Keeping the sayings, it's a book of prophecy, Revelation. So when he says you keep the words of this book, it means you are watching for these things to occur on planet Earth. Amen? That's how you keep it, and you're blessed for doing so. Thirdly, notice that John himself testifies to its authenticity by explaining exactly how he received it. Look with me back in Revelation chapter 22. John tells us how he received it. He authentifies it, authenticizes it. Look in verse 8. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them." And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. John had a lapse of faith. He was overwhelmed with the divine revelation. And he fell down, and the angel said, hey, don't do that, buddy. Worship God and God alone. Amen? But notice how he received it. John was both an eyewitness, I seen, and an ear witness, I heard. Go to 1 John. Hold your place again and go to 1 John chapter 1. Look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, that's Jesus Christ, amen? Which we have, what? Heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Notice the same wording. Both hearing and seeing is living proof. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, we touched the Messiah. We touched God in the flesh. For the life, Jesus Christ, was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. His name is Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. John says, I'm both an eyewitness of Jesus Christ and an ear witness of what came out of his mouth. Amen? You can believe what the Apostle John says, because he says, I both saw it and heard it with my own ears. Fourthly, concerning this declaration of the authentication of the book of Revelation. Fourthly, notice the witness of the angel himself to its authenticity. Verse number 9, Revelation 22. Verse 9, then saith he, the angel, unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. The angel says to John, keep the sayings of this book, John. Now, folks, where did this angel come from? Somebody? Where was his origin?
Heaven!
He came down from heaven and he told John on earth that you need to keep what's written in this book. Why? Because it's authentic. Amen? We have the declaration of its authenticity. But secondly, tonight, quickly, notice the command to unseal the book. Revelation 22, look at verse 10. We have a commandment given. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Oh, beloved, how I need you to get this point tonight. Because I'm here to tell you as your pastor that the time is at hand, church. Jesus is coming quickly. And we need to be ready. Amen? Look what he says. Don't seal the book. Open it. Let the world know what I'm about to do. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, you know that this book has been sealed for millenniums. I want to show you that in a minute here, but look at chapter 5 first. In Revelation 5, and I, John, saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Notice this book is sealed. It's sealed. That means you can't open it, right? In fact, he's going to tell you, nobody could open it. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth. Yeah, there's a place under the earth called hell. And was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Beloved, this verse, Revelation 5:5, is the first verse you'll see on our website. Why? Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Amen? And he's the only person in all of eternity that could unseal this book. And he's doing it for the Apostle John so he could do it for us. Glory to God. Why was it sealed? Why was the book sealed in Revelation 5 and verse 5? Look with me in Daniel chapter 12. Don't miss this. I'll show you why this book was sealed until our time. In Daniel, the incredible prophecy of the prophet Daniel. Go with me to Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. Don't miss this. In Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time. What time? The day of the Lord is the context, folks. Watch it. At that time, our time, it's coming upon us, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. That's Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, Old Testament saints, shall awake, resurrection, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and what? Seal the book. We're in Revelation 12, verse 4. Notice this. Thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight that knowledge in prophecy is being increased in our day. God is showing us things that we haven't seen in our Christian lives. The Holy Spirit is unsailing and unveiling the scriptures like never before. We know what's coming down the pike. Why? Because the book is now unsealed. The book of Revelation can be understood. He says, seal it. Look at verse 4. Daniel is commanded to seal the book and shut up the words for a long time. And look what it says. Even to the time of the end. Guess what, folks? We're living in the time of the end. These are the last days of the last days. Amen? Of this dispensation of grace. We're about to see the trumpet blow. We're about to get raptured out. Now, notice here that Daniel was commanded to seal the book and to shut the words of it closed. Notice also that the final state of every soul will remain in that condition for all eternity. Look back in Revelation 22. Look at verse number 11. Don't miss this. He that is, now we're in the eternal order here. And watch what the Lord says. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now notice here that the lost for all of eternity are confirmed in their unrighteousness. But that you and I, who have the righteousness of God imputed throughout by Jesus Christ, will be in a state of righteousness for all of eternity. He says we'll be that way still. Go into a million years into the future, we'll be that way still. Go a billion years into the future, we'll be that way still. Amen? Why? Because we will remain in that condition for all of eternity. Next, notice why Jesus Christ returns. Verse 12, Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my what? Reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, this reward will be twofold. Righteous, listen, first, at the rapture, he will reward the righteous for their service after salvation. Amen? That's will be rewarded. For, you'll be rewarded for coming to church tonight. Did you know that? Anything you do for the Lord will be rewarded one day at the judgment, at the Bema seat. Then, at his second, that's the first coming. That's the first phase of the second coming, let me say, the rapture. Then at his second coming, the second phase of the second coming, he will reward the unrighteous for their rejection of his salvation. Next, notice the declaration of the Son of God's eternity of being, of his eternal being. Look at verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, I've always been and I always will be who I am. Amen. The eternity of his being, beloved, thrills my soul. Back to Revelation chapter 1 concerning the eternity of his being. John saw it in Revelation chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 8. Jesus says to John in his appearance to him in this divine vision, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's who Jesus is. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I'm so glad that his voice is like a trumpet, because we're going to hear that voice soon and we're going up. Look at it. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it. Don't seal it. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. It's Jesus. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. John sees the vision of the Son of God, and the Lord tells him, I live forever. Glory to God. It's his eternity of his being. Observe the right of the new earth's inhabitants to enter the celestial city, back in chapter 22. The right of the inhabitants of the celestial city to the New Jerusalem to eat from the tree of life. Look at verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I love that. We have right to enter in. We can come and go as we please in glorified bodies, the servants of the Most High God. Then notice all those who are forever excluded from the tree of life and abide in a state of eternal death, which is separation from God. Look at verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. He says, all those who will never be allowed into my glorious heaven will be excluded forevermore. How horrifying is that? Go to chapter 21. Look at verse number 7. We'll see it again. In verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, which is an eternal death. It's an eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord. Thirdly, tonight in our text, observe the first affirmation of Jesus Christ. The first of two affirmations. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Now, beloved, in this affirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the book's authenticity, notice that Jesus Christ points the reader to both his human nature and his divine nature. First, he says, look at it, I am the root and the offspring of David. Listen carefully. He had a human body of the lineage of King David, because both Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his supposed father, were of Davidic bloodlines. Both of them. Trace their genealogy, they both go back to King David. Mary and Joseph, for those who think Joseph was his father, they still got them covered because he had the blood of David. Now, look at chapter 5 again, Revelation chapter 5. He first shows them his human nature. Amen? Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was of the tribe of Judah. That's one of the tribes of Israel. So he was Jewish. But he goes further. The root of David. He's given you the exact lineage of the Messiah. And he hath prevailed to open the book. Now, this is his human nature, clearly. Look at chapter 3, if you're still in Revelation. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse number 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of who? David. You see it, folks? That's Revelation 3, verse 7. He that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. What is the key of David? The key of David is the Davidic covenant, where God gave David the key to the kingdom, that one of his sons would sit upon his throne forever. Jesus said, I've got it. I've got that key. I've got the key to the kingdom. And if you want to get in, you got to let me let you in. Amen. That's his human lineage, his human nature. Then he declares his divinity by saying back in Revelation 22, verse 16, and I'm the bright and morning star. Bright and morning star. What's that mean? Anybody know what the bright and morning star is? Somebody's got to know.
Venus.
What is it?
Planet Venus, I believe.
No, it's not a planet. Think.
Whoa.
Think. That's it. It's the sun. It's bright. It's bright. Listen, you know the star is the sun? The star is the sun. It's a big one. It's a hot one. This phraseology points to his deity. It reveals his Shekinah glory as a burning sun, which is called the morning star. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Look at verse 12. We see his deity here, declared in verse 16. But look at in Revelation 19, verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of what?
Fire.
Fire. You know what that bright morning star, the sun, is? It's fire. And scientists are telling us right now, I saw it on CNN, that it's about to blow a big one. You know those eruptions on the sun's surface?
Solar
flares. Yeah, solar flare. A big one's coming our way. And they said when it hits planet Earth, everything's going black. Can you imagine? Oh, I won't have my internet. I won't have my cable TV. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to go black, brother. Worldwide blackout when that thing hits. Why? Because that sun is so powerful. That's his deity. That's representing his deity. Chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2. Look with me at verse 18. Verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. You know what fire does? It burns things up. I'm glad that his eyes are able to burn up my sin. Amen? He's able to purify and sanctify you, believer. Why? His eyes are as a flame of fire. Glory. Fire purifies. You know that? Fire only leaves what is pure after it's done doing its work. Look with me in Revelation. Glory to God. Chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And look with me at verse 14. Verse 14 we read, his head and his hairs were white as like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Over and over and over, the Holy Spirit tells us what his eyes are like, burning. And you know what? Hebrews chapter 13, down around verse 21, our God is a consuming fire. Fire. You better fear God. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, you better fear God. Amen? This is no easy believism, wishy-washy, health, wealth, and prosperity gospel church. No, God is a consuming fire, and you need to fear him. So do I. Why? Because God is King of the universe and King of eternity. Glory to God, His deity is pointed to clearly here. Fourthly tonight, quickly, observe the closing invitation of the Holy Spirit and the church. Back to our text in chapter 22. Look at verse 17. A closing invitation. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's you and me, the church, say, what?
Come.
Come. What is our desire in this life more than anything else besides loving Jesus Christ is to see souls come to Him. Amen? Come! And let him that hear it say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Glory to God, beloved. The Holy Spirit and the church give out the gospel invitation universally and not exclusively, as the Calvinists try to teach. For any soul that will accept it, I love the word whosoever in verse 17. Also, notice the river of the water of life is offered freely to all those who will accept Jesus Christ, the giver thereof. Fifthly, tonight, notice the two warnings issued. Verse 18, two incredible warnings. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written therein. What does that mean? Listen very carefully, beloved. First of all, the first warning goes out to any and all those who would dare to make additions to what is written in God's holy word. Look at verse 18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall what?
Add
unto these things. A fellow at work, yes, a couple days ago, a guy at work, he's a believer. He was just doing it for a kick, you know, for kick and giggle. He quoted a verse, John 3:16, from the Message Bible. Anybody ever seen any part of the Message? You don't want to see it, man. I mean, this verse is like almost a whole page. John 3:16. For God, who loved the world so delicately and wondrously, who at such a time as he on and on and on. You know what he's doing? Adding to the word of God. Adding to the words of this book. Fearful, isn't it? But that's what they're doing out there, folks. For money's sake. I want to make a new translation. For money. Listen, he mentions the plagues in verse 18. That are written in this book, not only the wrath of the tribulation period, but including the lake of fire, which is the second death. The second warning is for any and all those who would seek to subtract or detract from God's holy word. Look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's not the Lamb's book of life. There's three sets of books, remember. The book of life is the book that has the name of every human being that ever lived is written in the book of life. If they die without Jesus Christ, by way of review, their name is eliminated from that book. It's as if they never lived. Because why? Because they have eternal death. Right? So their name is taken out. Okay? Now, those who receive Jesus Christ, their name remains in the book of life. That they lived and received Jesus Christ, because it will be brought up at the great white throne. Now, notice the penalty for diminishing from God's word. Names removed from the book of life. We learned that last time. If a man dies unregenerate, his name is removed from that book. It contains every single person that's ever lived or ever will live, saved or lost. But look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Here's why it's important to have your name in the book of life and not removed from it. Here's why he said that in Revelation 22, 18, 19. Because of this in Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, the old order. And there was found no place for them. They're gone. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, certain names are in that book of life, and certain names are not in that book of life. Look at it. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Drop down to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now go back to 22. Verse 19. God shall take away his part out of the book of life. See that? Now, folks, if God takes their name out of the book of life and they stand at the great white throne and he opens the book of life, their name's not going to be there. Why? Because they died unregenerate and their names were eliminated from it, so that at the great white throne they have no leg to stand on. They had rejected the Son of God, the only way of escaping the lake of fire. Now, there have been and still are today scores of deceived fools who love to add or detract from the divine revelation of God's holy word, which was completed for the English-speaking world in the year 1611. Amen? The Mormons, I should say morons, add their Book of Mormons to the Bible. The JWs add their New World Translation. Christian Science Cult adds their key to the scriptures, etc., etc. The list goes on and on, folks. Now, the very fact that they do not accept the Bible alone as God's final revelation to man reveals the fact that they are unsaved in their spiritual condition, proving that they lack the indwelling Holy Spirit who gave us this book. Amen? If you've got the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to love His Word. These people add to it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, three specific warnings are given in Scripture concerning this damnable offense. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, quickly. Deuteronomy, I want you to see this. Both Testaments, three times God says it. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. This is a serious warning to those who would corrupt the Word of God. I'm telling you, beloved, you're in the minority tonight because you love that King James Bible. You're looked down upon because you believe it's God's Word. That's all right, because one plus God is a majority, amen? Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Look at this. Powerful stuff here. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 4, look at me at verse 2. Ye shall not, what? Add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. He says, don't add to God's word and don't diminish from it by taking away. But oh, how many Bibles are on the market today? Hundreds. Hey, they got a gay Bible now. A gay Bible. Homosexual friendly. Homosexuality is not a sin, not in their Bible. See, you can get a Bible to say anything you want to fit your agenda. But you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to be saved that way. You need the Bible. Amen? The Word of God. Go with me to Proverbs. That's your first warning in the Bible. Deuteronomy 4:2. Mark it down. Proverbs chapter 30. Another warning clearly given here concerning the word and who it came from. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with God's Son. Proverbs chapter number 30. Look with me at verse 4. Don't miss this. Verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven? Any of you folks gone up to heaven and come back? Nope. Nope. Or descended? Any of you come down from heaven? No, you were born here on earth. You will go there one day, though. Who hath gathered the wind? See, somebody did come down from heaven. He's going to show you who. And who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? He's going to give you the answer in verse 5. What is his son's name? Every word of God. That's his name. You see it? His son's name. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now, notice in verse 5, your Bible is personified. You see it? Those who put their trust in Him. Who's the Him? The every word of God. You see it? Verse 6. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. And we just read that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, burned from brimstone forever. Right? So, you can't take away from it. And verse 6 says you can't add unto it without suffering eternal damnation. That's what the book says, folks. I didn't make that up. Amen? It's what God says. That's how important this book is to Him who gave us life. Wow. What a warning. Back to Revelation 22. The third and final warning is on the final page of the Bible. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Glory to God. Sixthly tonight. Sixthly, the second affirmation of Jesus Christ is found in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely. Not maybe, not someday. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, notice here, beloved, that Jesus Christ verifies the book of Revelation here in verse 20 by promising to what? Return. That's right, Val. To come quickly. He says, behold, I surely... He says, you can mark it down. You can be assured of this fact. I will come, and I will come quickly. Listen, here he is saying that the book of Revelation is authentic based upon my sure return. He promises to return in order to fulfill every single prophecy of the book. And observe the word quickly in verse 20, indicating the manner of his coming. Not the timing, but the manner of his coming. That is, that when the trumpet blows, we'll go up quickly. And then every prophecy will be fulfilled quickly. And the eternal order will commence. How do we know this? Listen, church. Because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ said these words in verse 20 to the Apostle John. He said, behold, I come quickly. He wasn't saying, I'm coming quickly, John, before you die. He's saying, when I come, I'll do it quickly. You see the picture? So, the Bible says that when that trumpet blows. A matter of fact, go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you this, that it's going to be quick when the Lord comes. It's going to be fulfilled very quickly. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Don't miss this. Verse 51. Behold, we had this verse 51 on over our nursery in our church in Colorado. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. every diaper got changed in our nursery. Amen. But they wouldn't all sleep, the rascals. But beloved, you and I, we shall not all die. That's the word, Christian word for dying, sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, scientists measured that. They measured the timing of a twinkling of an eye. It came out to, as Carl Sagan would say, 2 billionths of a second. It's very quick. Oh, man. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, that's the voice of Jesus Christ, and the dead, that's Christians who have died and been buried, shall be raised incorruptible. And we, Christians who are alive when the trumpet sounds, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and he's going to quote from Isaiah 25:8, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? See, there's a whole bunch of people that are going to heaven without dying. We're going to mock death. We're going to say, na 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 na. Where's your victory, death? Where's your sting, devil? You got it. We went to heaven without dying. Whoever gets raptured, amen? Oh, I love that. But it's going to happen quickly. quickly back to Revelation 22. Glory to God. I love the fact that he's coming and coming quickly. Finally, notice the closing benediction to the saints. Verse 21. Folks, this is the last verse of your Bible. You think it's important? Watch it. By the way, verse 21 of Revelation 22, somebody add that up. 2, 2, 2, 1 equals 7, doesn't it? Verse 21, 7 plus 7 plus 7. See, you can't get out away from it. This last verse of the Bible is full of sevens. Why? Because the book is perfect. God's number of perfection is 7. There's no coincidences. I believe the Holy Spirit even inspired the book, chapter, and verse markings of the King James Bible. That's how much I believe it. Even the divisions of the chapters and the verses, the numberings. Listen, verse 21. Notice the closing benediction to the saints. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing here, closing out the book of Revelation to mankind, our entire series of studies in these prophetic events, notice that the Holy Spirit points us to the source of victory in our daily lives. Listen to me. It is only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being with us, operating in us by His Spirit, that we are able to live this Christian life in victory. Are you hearing me? We are able to live in victory because of this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just anybody's grace. It's His. Do you think that tonight, beloved, it might be a little bit important what the Lord says to us in the very last verse of His Word? Listen to me. You can know all the prophecies of the Bible we've been studying. You can know what each of Daniel's 10 toes stood for. You can know what the image of the beast will be and what the 10 horns of the beast are and all these incredible truths. But if you're not walking in the Spirit and living by grace, an obedient, sanctified Christian life, humbly, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I can teach you till you're blue in the face, church. But God is not impressed with what you know. God is impressed with you walking in His grace. I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. Because yes, we have learned a lot in this series. And it is glorious indeed. But that's not what impresses me. What impresses me is verse 21. That you and I have the privilege. Look at it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. All. Amen. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the treasurer. He's got it there. It's not just for the secretary sitting back there in the last pew. It is for us all. And as all of us take that grace and apply it in our daily lives, we're going to be pleasing our Heavenly Father. And there's no limit to what He can do through this church. Amen? I am so glad tonight that you and I have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the closing of the book, the conclusion hereon. Lord, what a pleasure it has been over the last 19 weeks of studying the millennial kingdom and the eternal order to come. Lord, we are so blessed tonight. I don't know what any other churches or pastors are teaching. It's not my concern. My concern is this church where you've called me, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you've given me a bunch of believers here that love this holy book and love to study about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and love His appearing. There's a promised crown of righteousness for each of us who love your appearing. Lord, a sure mark of a church that loves your second coming, your appearing, is a church that studies prophecy. And I'm so glad that you called me to one, Lord. I'm so thankful for this rowdy bunch here in Hooksett, New Hampshire, Lord. I'm so thankful you allow me to preach your word to them and be their pastor. And Lord, I'm so thankful that each of us have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, precious treasure it is. And we have it in earthen vessels by your Holy Spirit. Bless us, Lord, in these final days. These are serious times, Lord. I sense the urgency of the hour. That your coming is so nigh, it is imminent. It could happen before I finish this prayer. And Lord, we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We join the Apostle John tonight, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, fulfill every prophecy. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight. We will close with a hymn, a very appropriate hymn at that. Open up your hymnal to 195. Hymn 195 tonight. And I'm so glad that that last verse said, we take the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. The name of this hymn is Take the Name of Jesus With You. 52. Hymn 52. I'm sorry, 195. 195. Glory to God. Take the name of Jesus with you. Let's stand first, third, and fourth, beloved. First, third, and fourth. Sing it like you mean. Thank you, Lord.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it there you go, precious name. Oh, how sweet the mother and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, how sweet, oh, mother and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs are homes and more, precious name, oh, how sweet, oh, mother and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, how sweet. Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet, King of kings in heaven reigning, as we stand in Him complete, precious name, oh, how sweet, oh, mother and joy.
Oh, praise the Lord, beloved, tonight. What a wonderful day He's given us in His house. Amen. Just fantastic encouragement from His Word. And I'm so glad that forever and ever, Jesus will be the joy of heaven. That's why we're here tonight, because we love Him. We're madly in love with Him. Glory to God. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer. And Wednesday night, we'll be back in the book of Jude. And we're going to look at the sin of the fallen angels Wednesday night. Esther.
We're going to start next Sunday night.
Next Sunday night?
Yeah, we just finished.
Same. Oh, it's a surprise. Good question. It's a surprise. You'll like it, trust me. Brother Kyle.
Lord, we thank you so much for the word you have given us, Lord, for your word that you have to take it with us. We can study it at any time, and we always have it with us in our hearts and our minds, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's there, never to be removed. Thank you, Lord, that we can rely on that word, that we know that your word is true, Lord, and that it's not changing, and it will not change. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with and comfort us as we go through our week. You'd guide us. You'd keep us out of harm's way, Lord. You'd help us, each and every one, to walk in that path you lay before us. We ask you now, Lord, to just keep us and keep us safe. Give us trials and mercies as we go about our daily business, Lord, and see us back here Wednesday night. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.